anyone who was unable to attend, we will make sure that it is up on our website by tomorrow. So no frets, this is definitely getting recorded for others to see if in case they couldn't join us. By way of introduction, my name is Linda Rossi and I'm the superintendent of schools of Babylon Schools. And with us tonight, we have some distinguished people I'd like to welcome to the forum. First, we have Dr. Peter Daly, our deputy superintendent of schools. Thank you, Dr. Daly, for joining us.
Good evening. We have
Mr. Daniel D'Amico, our assistant superintendent for curriculum and instruction. We also have Mr. Al Cerrone, who is the principal of Babylon Junior Senior High School. Thank you for joining us tonight, Mr. Cerrone, as well as a very, very special guest, and we could not be more pleased to have him with us tonight, is Dr. Stefan Muehlbauer. And he serves as the chairman of emergency medicine at St. Francis Hospital. Again, thank you, doctor, for joining us tonight. Everybody, I am extremely happy to inform everyone that Dr. Muehlbauer will serve as our testing and lab coordinator, who will supervise the on-site COVID-required testing process that will take place on school grounds if and when our district gets designated to be in a yellow zone by the Department of Health. So before we get into tonight's discussion, we have a number of goals tonight. The first being that we are going to review details pertaining to New York State's recent announcement of the microcluster initiative. We're going to review the state's requirement for school-based COVID testing, and that has to be done in order to continue in-person instruction. We will also hear from our medical provider, Dr. Muehlbauer, who's here with us tonight, who will be, along with his crew of people, providing us the expertise in implementation. We hope to get to some questions and answers near the conclusion of this webinar tonight as well. So by way of background, we all know that COVID-19 has a positivity rate in Suffolk County that's inching up, as we're seeing higher levels of community spread than when first school began in September. However, both the Suffolk County Health Commissioner, Dr. Gregson Pickett, as well as Governor Andrew Cuomo, continue to suggest that the spread of COVID-19 is much more of a community-based problem than we're seeing a school-based problem. Nonetheless, the spread of COVID-19 definitely has implications for public school operations, which tonight's discussion will go into detail. So back in October, some of you might remember, Governor Cuomo established New York's microcluster initiative. This initiative tracks the rate of COVID-19 and its spread, now geographically by region, and it further directs New York State Department of Health to designate regions as either being in yellow, orange, or red zones based on the positivity rate of COVID-19 cases. Now, with each zone comes certain restrictions for community members. We're not going to go into that tonight, but tonight's discussion is going to go into the testing requirement, which is a restriction on school districts in order for us to remain open for in-person instruction. And we'll also go into how Babylon Schools is preparing for a possible yellow zone designation if and when that comes to be in our future. So as I previously mentioned, zone identification is based on geographical area, not necessarily school district. And it's using metrics such as an increase in new cases confirmed within the geographical region, an increase in the positivity rate, an increase in the hospital admissions due to COVID-19, as well as other factors, such as also schools that would be designated in orange or red zone regions. It's also important to note that zone designation as I said again, is based on geographical region, not necessarily the school buildings themselves, even though our numbers go into that larger pool for identification. So under New York State's microcluster initiative, the New York State Department of Health has determined that schools in yellow zones can only remain open for in-person instruction if we test 20% of our in-person students, faculty, and staff over a two-week period immediately following the announcement of a yellow zone designation. So what does that mean? So if and when that occurs, it would be our role as a school district to be as best prepared as possible so we can begin testing on site. And we would have to conclude that testing within a two-week window. So we feel we owe it to our community to maintain that our schools remain open for children, obviously in a safe manner. And we, at this time, have been preparing to make sure that testing would be ready to go. The testing would be free of charge to all persons who consent to testing. So let's say we begin testing and the results of testing reveal that the positivity rate among the 20% of people we test is lower than the yellow zone's current 7-day positivity rate. That would simply mean that testing in our district would no longer be required. However, if the test results reveal that the positivity rate among in-person students and staff is actually higher than the yellow zone's current 7-day positivity rate, that would mean a school district must continue testing 20% of its in-person population on a weekly basis. So we're hoping, once we get into this process, that if our testing results reveal a positivity rate lower than what is designated for the yellow zone region, that would confirm that in-person instruction is not a strong driver of the local spread. And that is pretty much what we're seeing in school districts that have piloted this program. So let's talk a little bit about current figures, and then I'm going to turn it over to our special guest, Dr. Muehlbauer. But to date, and you know, we're giving daily reminders out to all of our families whenever we do get a positive case. But as of today, the positivity rate within our buildings, Babylon School buildings, continues to remain relatively low. To date, we have had 30 students and a total of 13 employees test positive. So when you take a look at what that means, that's about 2.1% of our in-district population. That represents students, teachers, staff members. That does not reflect what's being shown out in the greater community. So I just wanted to bring that forward tonight because that number will continue probably to grow, but there's definitely a distinction between what we're seeing in the school compared to the greater community. And we'd like to attribute this low figure to all schools following consistent reopening safety protocols defined by the Department of Health, such as maintaining the suggested 6-foot social distancing requirements, wearing masks at all times, proper hand hygiene, daily sanitizing, as well as other initiatives we've had in place since September. Therefore, we do know we have an obligation to properly and preemptively prepare for any future yellow zone designation or even orange or red designation if that comes to be our reality in our future. And I will tell you, our team up at the central office, we've spent many, many hours talking with other districts, researching providers, And we're very pleased to say that we've chosen OnSite Medical Solutions to partner with us under the supervision of Dr. Stefan Mulbauer, who is here with us tonight. And again, we thank him very much for taking his time, because I think he adds a lot of wonderful information to tonight's discussion to put parents a little at ease about what this might look like on site. OnSite Medical Solutions will administer a rapid COVID-19 test. So administration is convenient for everybody. That includes families, faculty, and staff. And the specific rapid test that is actually being distributed by the New York State Department of Health is called the Binax Now COVID-19 rapid test. This rapid test, as I mentioned, is free of charge, courtesy of the Department of Health. And it's also important to note for moms and dads who are out there tonight that this specific test does not require swabbing that goes way high up into the nasal cavity, but is simply a much more comfortable swab around the lower portion of the nose or the nostril. And it will be administered by our provider, certified healthcare professionals. So at this point, I am going to welcome and introduce and turn it over to Dr. Stefan Mulbauer, tonight's medical expert and special guest who will be observing the process in Babylon. So welcome, doctor. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Linda, and thanks so much for the kind introduction. And I want to thank you, your team, and the community for the faith they're placing in us. And certainly I know that Babylon and Babylon Schools, it's a special group. It serves a very, very special and important community. And my team, OnSite Medical Solutions, is going to do everything we can to keep you guys doing exactly what you do best, which is educating and caring for the most precious commodity that we have, which is our children and their, you know, our future. And so, you know, COVID-19 has been it's been a rough experience for just about everybody in the region. And our goal is to keep the schools doing what the schools do best, which is educating. And we're looking to provide the healthcare aspect of it so that you guys can keep doing what you guys are doing. My own background, I originally trained as a virologist. I studied microbiology and immunology, and that was where I began my career. I subsequently became a physician and trained in emergency medicine at Harvard, where I was briefly on staff and on faculty. I did some research over there before coming back to my home, which is Long Island. And I've since become chairman of the emergency department at St. Francis Hospital, where in that role, I helped to direct our health system's response to COVID-19, and I directed our emergency department's response to COVID-19. Subsequently, several of my partners who are also emergency physicians have joined with me to found OnSite Medical Solutions with the idea of bringing our expertise in COVID and similar matters directly outside of hospitals to people's homes, businesses, and in this case, schools. I want to speak a little bit about the test that we'll be performing. As you noted, in the event that Babylon Schools were to be designated a yellow zone, we would need to ensure that 20% of the staff and student body were swabbed for COVID. The test that we'll be performing, as you mentioned, is the Binax Now. The Binax Now is a rapid antigen test. What that means is that it takes 15 minutes between performing the test and when the results are known. Now, most people are probably familiar with the idea of a COVID test being a quote-unquote PCR test. This is most commonly done by a nasopharyngeal swab, which people sometimes refer to as a brain biopsy. It's not a dangerous test, but it's an uncomfortable test. And typically at a commercial lab, it can take 2 to 4 days to result. This test is about 95% as accurate as that. So that's pretty accurate. That's actually extremely accurate for a rapid test, but comes back in 15 minutes. And I want to reassure everyone that it does not have the discomfort associated with the deeper swab. We are able to collect the sample just from the lower nose. We're talking only going in a little bit. It's a slightly itchy sensation, but it's not uncomfortable, and it's going to be administered only by healthcare professionals. The team that we are going to assemble to take care of your school district will be headed at all times by a medical director who will be overseeing a physician's assistant who will be physically present on site. That PA would have on their team either additional PAs or nurses or EMTs. But everybody will be a licensed medical professional in New York State. And we will work to get the results back. If the test takes 15 minutes, our goal is to make sure to have it available to families in no more than 30 minutes. We're going to have a dashboard where everybody can see their results. That's going to be, if it's a negative result, to check that way. However, in the event of a positive result, we will ensure to directly verbally communicate that along with any follow-up that's going to be needed. Now, in terms of how reliable is it, I said it's about 95% as good as the PCR test. The information that we've been given from the manufacturer and from New York State is that the test is what we call very specific, meaning if there is a positive result, it is with a fair degree of certainty a real positive result. In other words, it indicates infection with COVID-19 virus. Similarly, a negative test, while it doesn't guarantee where the future will hold, it tells us with excellent certainty that that person at that point in time is not actively infectious. And that's really the purpose of the test. The Binax Now that New York State is distributing is actually not commercially available. It's something that really we can only get from New York State at this point, and they've designated it for use in the schools, which I really think is terrific. I think this is the gold standard test, and I'm delighted that that's what's being made available to perform tests at the schools. My role is going to be medical direction. I'm going to be overseeing the effort performed and ensuring that the test is performed properly and according to our lab standards. On-site Medical Solutions is an accredited CLIA-waived New York State lab. And so we're going to be responsible for the skill and the accuracy and the validity of the results as well as they're being reported to New York State. All of which is to say that this is just one more thing that we need to prepare for and that we need to do to keep our communities safe, to keep our children safe. I do want to give a little hope, though, that I think there is light at the end of the tunnel. And today was actually a very exciting day. In New York State, we administered our first COVID vaccines at healthcare facilities across the state. And I actually got mine about 3 hours ago. So this is an exciting day for, you know, making progress against COVID. And we're very excited to be a part of it with you guys. And I'm incredibly honored that you've entrusted us with this part of your journey.
Thank you so much, Doctor. Can you talk a little bit about what the testing sites will look like? You know, we're envisioning where it's at each building and possibly even a drive up on a Saturday.
So we will be able to assemble our team depending on what you guys have, in terms of throughput. But we will have our team there and ready. We're going to have somebody in charge of intake, making sure that we have all of the information correct. We're going to have a provider who performs the swab, and then we're going to have a third provider who would develop it and ensure that the results are properly input into the system. And in terms of a drive-through, if that in the situation where our operations team sets up a drive-up, people would really just be able to park. We'd be able to verify that we're seeing the correct person, that we have their information. Everybody should be distributed ahead of time, both consent forms as well as an electronic sign-in so that we have everybody's information. And then we would, you know, be able to contact anybody who's positive directly, and then upload the results for absolutely everybody on the portal.
Thank you. Excellent. That's just wonderful. And it gives our parents who are with us here tonight a little glimpse of what this might look like. We really love the idea of the drive-up possibility too for parents who have little children who might consent to have them tested so they can be there with them. I will tell you, you know, I already filled out my survey to consent to have myself tested. I'll be one of the first ones, and I'll even videotape myself. So, you know, the little children who do get tested, you know, can see us as models and see that this is not something to be, you know, frightened of. But again, thank you, doctor. I do want to remind parents with us tonight, you know, testing is voluntary. We do hope, though, that you will consider consenting to your child or children being tested after hearing from the doctor this evening. By doing so, you help us accomplish this future requirement to ensure that in-person instruction can continue in Babylon schools. Again, as Dr. Muehlbauer said, this is a free and confidential health screening. It's on site for any child whose parent consents or any district employee who also would like to be tested. And as the doctor mentioned, the results are timely, effective, and also confidential. We look at it here in Babylon as a way to ensure a healthy school community. With that being said, I'm going to ask Mr. D'Amico if he could share one PowerPoint slide with us, if he can get that up on the screen. Last week, I sent out, a little over a week ago, a reminder, actually a letter to parents informing you of the willingness to test survey. This survey can be found on our district homepage. We are urging all parents to fill this survey out on or before this coming Wednesday, December 16th at 5 p.m. Again, it can be found simply by clicking the following link, which you see there in the light blue. And that link is also found on the district homepage. This preliminary survey, parents, that you fill out is helping us determine basically the potential participation. It helps us gauge what percentage of random testing could be attainable. So your response to this initial survey, I want to just mention, does not bind you to a response. If you respond affirmatively, know that a formal consent letter and form will be sent to you then afterward before on-site testing takes place, okay? Again, we are only required to do on-site testing if and when we go into yellow zone status. Also, additionally on the website, parents, you will find a helpful resource that's titled Frequently Asked Questions Regarding School-Based COVID Testing. One of the things that came out of tonight's initial discussion is, you know, we will probably be doing a Saturday drive-through, so parents have that option to be with their youngsters when that happens. And as you know, we'll also be setting these up during the school day inside of our school. So there are definitely options. But that FAQ answers many, many questions concerning school-based COVID-19 testing. So take a look at that again. It is also on the website. And then there's another wonderful document. And this is for parents of primarily younger children. But how do we talk to youngsters regarding this? Well, there's a document called COVID Rapid Test Talking Points for parents talking to children. And I encourage you to take a look at that document because it really has some really great tips for parents again with our youngest students and even, you know, our middle grade and even high school students if you wanted to use it. But a lot of good information on the website so far. And obviously in the next number of weeks, we'll be getting out much more detailed information as to, you know, consent forms going out. But I urge you, please fill out this survey before Wednesday at 5 p.m. if able. It really helps us determine if we can move ahead if and when we have had to, okay? So I'm going to, we only had a few questions that were emailed to us. I'm gonna start with those first and then we'll open up to the floor if any parents have any questions. We had a few questions that came in over the weekend and today. The first one talks about, you know, is a saliva test an option? And we are not doing a saliva test. The Department of Health is, as Dr. Mobauer said, is providing the Binex Now rapid test. Doctor, do you want to go into any more? I think you summarized everything beautifully with the accuracy of that test.
Thank you. I mean, I think the saliva test needs to be done by PCR, and that would have a 2 to 4 day turnaround time. And just in terms of the logistics of the of getting testing done, I think it needs to be both an accurate and a rapid test. I think you can't give up one for the other. And so the saliva tests, while they can be accurate, they tend to be very, very time consuming, as in days. And for the purposes of screening and performing surveillance in schools, it is it would be unlikely to be a really operational option.
Excellent, thank you. The next question I think I can probably answer. If we decline in-school testing, how far in advance will we know that our child was randomly selected? Right now, if you decline in-school testing, your child would not be randomly selected. But again, parents, just keep in mind, if we want to keep in-school instruction going, we have to have a pool large enough where we can pick randomly employees and students to get to our 20% of total population. So I just wanted to clarify, you know, you're not obligated to, agree to have your child tested. But we would like that feedback on the survey and know if you do, you know, it is a safe, more comfortable, highly controlled, you know, test that we would be giving on site. Those were the questions that came in today. So maybe, Mr. D'Amico, we can open it up to anyone of our attendees if they want to raise their hand and ask a question, and we can take some questions, okay?
Okay, I'm going to call the person's name, unmute you. You could ask your question, and then I'll be muting you again afterwards. We have a lot of people here today, so if we could keep it to maybe one per person, and I'll try and scroll down as we go.
Great.
Kate Murphy. One second.
Hi, Kate.
Okay, I'm gonna promote you to a panelist for a second, Kate, because your older version doesn't allow me to unmute you. You should be able to ask your question now. You need to unmute.
You're on mute. Mr. Scolder, you're on mute.
There we go. Sorry about that.
Hi there.
Yes, hi. So my question's kind of two-part to follow up what you were just discussing, which would be the first part being, what happens if you don't have a 20% opt-in to randomly take the test? And the second part of it would be, is the random part of this going to be spread out through all the different three schools within the district between staff, personnel, and students? And, you know, as far as having enough personnel, will the students always be different each day that are selected, or will it be the same? If you only have 20% that are opting in, will it be the same people every day for 2 weeks?
Great questions. Good job. Very good questions. First question is, if we do not have enough people to account for 20%, schools would have to close, whether you're in a yellow, orange, or red zone. We will not be allowed, we will not be permitted to continue in-person instruction. The second part of the question was, you know, the definition is random, and we're being told it needs to be random. We just cannot test only employees, the adults. We have to have a balance among all three schools, among adults and students. It definitely has to be a balance. And that's the direction we've received so far. Maybe additional, you know, directives will come down, but we're told, in, we're being told it has to be as random as able. Okay. Okay. Next question.
Robin Silvestri.
Hi, Mrs. Silvestri.
Thank you. Hi, Mrs. Razi. Thanks so much tonight for tonight's presentation. Your Dr. Muehlbauer was really informative and I think put a different perspective for me as a parent on the opting into the testing. And thank you for clarifying also the importance of testing in keeping our schools open. I think that was a really good point of tonight's presentation. I didn't really have another question. My question was answered along the way. I suppose my only other question is what happens with the data? Where does the data go and how does that get shared out?
Okay, my understanding, thank you for the question, Mrs. Silvestri, my understanding is the data will get reported back to the Department of Health. It shows that the district did its due diligence in testing that certain percentage that is required for being in a yellow zone. And it also helps the Department of Health with important data to help limit the spread, whether it be in the geographical region or even further out. But that information is confidential information at the Department of Health level. Okay.
Crystal Miller.
Hi, how are you?
Miller, good, how are you?
Good, thank you so much for doing this. So my question is more the, and I'm sorry, I apologize if I missed this, the process. So I have littles, yeah. And I was wondering, like, do they get pulled from class? Do we get notified in advance? Is there an option for me to take them to my healthcare provider or can I go with them? And I guess like how far in advance would that notice be?
Great, great question. Very good questions tonight. We're going to put together a playbook that has all those scenarios as opportunities. We might have parents on here tonight who have little ones that would prefer a drive up on a Saturday so they can be there. We might have parents who say, you know what, let's test them in school. And that would be done in the school building under the supervision of, you know, the provider who's there with us that day and our staff to you know, walk the children down and do this expeditiously and right back to class. I'm also being told, and I think as of tonight, this is, you know, I think what could happen, parents can also take their child for a test on their own from what I'm being told. However, that test can be done independently. You as the parent would be having to, you know, go to your own provider of your choosing and have your own insurance pick it up. But that would have to be done within the 2-week window. I think I'm correct with that in order for it to count if we get the test results back. I think I'm correct in answering that way. That was something I recently saw. That's a little harder though for parents because then you're having to find a test site, you know, take your child on his or her own, get the results back to us all within that window in order for that test to count towards the school district's, you know, percentage.
Bill Good.
Hi, everyone.
Hi there.
I was just curious. I've already submitted my responses. I was wondering if you guys felt you would hit the 20% or if we're in danger of not hitting the 20% and having to go remote.
We continue to have them come in through Wednesday. If we are not near the 20%, we'll let you know. We would let everybody know. I'm hoping that, you know, this discussion tonight can get the word out. And if we don't have enough responses by Wednesday, we will continue keeping that survey open so we can get where we need to be. Thank you for the question.
Fumi Otoma.
Hi.
Hi there.
So my question is, I know that we need a 20%, but if you can't test the same 20%, I think they have to do a second test after 2 weeks. Does that mean we would need, if it can't be the same 20%, don't we need more than 20%?
Yes. Right? We need much more than 20% because it would be, number one, it's not random if we keep testing the same kids over and over again. So very good point. We need much more than 20% to make sure our pool is large enough where we can actually do random testing. That was a very good point. Thank you for bringing that up. I'm glad you clarified that.
Teresa Pateri.
Hi, Mrs. Pateri.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for doing this. Dr. Melbauer, congratulations on your vaccine today. It certainly gives us all a glimpse of hope to getting back to real and normal life. So thank you so very much. My question was similar to the previous question, which was, where are we in terms of the survey on the percentage of the respondents? But it doesn't sound like we have an actual number to date yet. And the second piece of that would be, you know, now that the vaccine will hopefully roll out on scale, would we see junior and senior high school students going back full time and in person within the next few months?
Good question. It's too soon to tell that because we're dealing with an uptick in cases right now. Time is going to tell where we are with the students getting back full time. We have to get through this first, but believe me, we're all thinking about that. We have to get through the testing first and make sure that we can, you know, continue to show that the schools are safe places for the children to be, which we feel they are. Can you get back to Mrs. Pateri anyway, Dan? Unmute her again. If not, the promise of the vaccine is definitely good promise. And, you know, we think that things with that coming up will only, you know, help the cause as we move forward into the late winter and early spring months.
She can speak now.
Okay. Did I answer your questions, Mrs. Pateri? Okay. All right. Let's take Mrs. Wittral, Mr. D'Amico.
I'm actually up to Bill Thayer.
Okay. Good evening.
Hi, everyone. Quick question about the numbers. I believe kids that tested positive already don't need to retest, but are they being included in the 20% that you have to factor in? Like, are you removing these numbers from our overall population?
You know, I'm not a medical expert. I can't answer that question right now. I'm not sure on that. But I'm writing it down to figure out, you know, what the answer is. So the question is, if a student already tested positive, let's say last month, could that student be part of the 20%? Is that your question? I'm sorry, Dan, I'm messing you up. I think that's what his question was. I don't know the answer to that. We will have to get an answer to that in an FAQ coming up, though. That was a good question.
S. Wittral. Is that Mr. or Mrs. Wittral?
Yeah. And she's muted.
Mm-hmm. It might be the other Wittral family. This is Susan Wittral. I didn't have a question. Perhaps.
Hi there. How are you? No question?
No, it might be my brother or my sister-in-law.
Okay. Hope you're having a great night. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Mrs. Tajiri. Maybe not. I'm going to go to Melissa and Brian Maliko.
Hi. My question is, what's new about these rapid tests that they're accepted now versus if my child had to get a test for having cold-like symptoms, it had to be the send-away test we had to wait for? I'm curious why the rapid's accepted now and was not accepted prior.
Thank you. Great question. Dr. Muehlbauer, would you be able to answer that?
Sure. So this is a decision by the state. Different tests have different what we call sensitivities and specificities, which basically boils down to how accurate is it, both in detecting cases and in not falsely detecting a case. You don't want to be, you don't want to have COVID and test negative, and at the same time, you don't want to be told that you tested positive when you're actually negative. There are a very, very wide assortment of rapid tests on the market, some better, some worse. None of them come close to the accuracy of the Binax now. The other thing is that New York State is using this really for the purposes of surveillance, as opposed to the most accurate level of diagnosis. In other words, we're not using this as an evaluation for a sick visit or an exposed person. We're, New York State is recommending that we're using this as simply a way of taking a cross section of the school. And again, that's why it's 20% and not 100%. Mm-hmm. We're looking to say, what is the rate of this disease in your population? And New York State has decided that this test is quote unquote good enough. Just to say, I would agree with that decision. I think this test is good enough for the purposes that the state's recommending it for. There's no such thing as a perfect test in anywhere in medicine. All of the COVID tests are extremely new, but if you take into account time, cost, and precision, I actually think that New York State has gotten this one right.
That's great, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, Carolyn Nebocat. Apologize if I just butchered your name.
You did great. You did great. <Thank you>. My question is just, what is 20%? What's the number? I'm a numbers person.
20% would be a little over 400 people.
And I just want to go back.
Mr. D'Amico, that is comprised of equal proportions of students, staff, faculty.
To Jerry, I don't know if that's a Mr. or a Mrs. Did you have a question before I completely disable you? I'm not sure that could be a problem there. And so last question, I'm gonna come back to Mrs. Silvestri, and then we will stop there. We got. I have one more question I'll take after Mrs. Thank Silvestri.
Yep.
Mrs. Silvestri? Looks like I got to unmute you.
Unmute. I can do it from this side.
All right, there you go.
Terrific, thank you. Four kids, do I submit a form for each child or do just one per family?
Yes, unfortunately it has to be one for every child.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, good question, thanks for that. And I also just did the numbers. I mean, the numbers change on a daily basis based on our enrollment, but it's looking like as of today's count, it would be 405 people that we would have to test to get to 20%. But like as someone mentioned earlier tonight, we have to get a lot more consent, willingness to test consents in more than 20%, because again, we need to test randomly. We cannot just continue testing the same staff members or children who consented to testing. So we need a lot of numbers coming in order to continue, in-person schooling if designated. Okay.
Mrs. Rossi, do we want to have the other people who had questions send those in to us?
We'll take.
I'll keep going. That would be Cynthia Salinas Roberts.
We'll take five more, Dan.
Okay.
I think, yeah. I mean, whoever is listed here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mrs. Roberts.
Hi, good evening. I'm sorry if I am asking you to repeat your answers. I have a few quick questions. What percent is the yellow zone?
Mm-hmm. The yellow zone at the county level, I don't want to quote incorrectly for the geographical yellow zone. I think it's over 5%. Again, I don't want to, you know, state what that geographical rate is or how they get there, but it's more than we're seeing inside the school district.
Sharon Russell.
Hi, thank you. I just had a question on the survey itself. So I haven't gotten through the survey and I'm looking forward to completing it for my children. They are young. So I'm just curious if I'm willing to test them outside of school, not necessarily in school, but I want to be part of the 20%. Are there questions for that in the survey to answer that? Like, is it all or nothing? Like, I don't want them tested in school.
No, great question. All you need to do is say yes on that survey for each child. In our follow-up correspondence that we will be sending you, we will drill down to that. Okay.
Debbie B.
Hi, everyone. Just a quick question. What is our geographical location? Is it West Islip, North Babylon, West Babylon? What consists of that? Is it Suffolk County?
We're being told it's by zip code. And there are parts of the zip codes that go into other school districts, but we're being told right now it's by zip code.
Crystal Miller.
Sorry, hi. So this is kind of like a jump off of what I said before. How much note, like will we have notice like in advance? So I really want schools to stay open and I want to say yes, but I can't make school a medical place for my children. They get doctor anxiety. So I'm trying to find that balance of I can go or I can take them to the doctor, but if I don't want to be roped in if I say yes, and then they get pulled out of class and I don't know till after.
Yeah, great, great question. The good news here is the day we get notified, if and when we get notified, we have a 2-week window to get this done. So we would probably spend the first couple few days just making sure that the logistics are ready to go. The beauty of working with On-Site Medical Solutions is that, you know, they will have our tests already in hand very shortly. So if we were ever notified, we can begin testing immediately, but figure a couple of days to get the logistics all down pat. And we would definitely give parents enough warning ahead of time so you can plan accordingly.
Okay, I'm just gonna take this last four and then we'll finish up. Val Basile.
Hi, Mrs. Basile.
Hi, how are you? Thank you guys so much for this. This has been great. As a parent of a lot of children, do you think you would put, like if I say yes to everything, would you test all of my children in that 20%, let's say, if it's random, or would you kick out other family members? Because I feel like you test 4 of my 5 in that 20%, I may skew the results one way or the other.
Yeah, we're supposed to do it completely randomly. It can't be where one family is picked at the same time. They're actually saying, you know, work it randomly. And that makes sense because, yeah, you know, she's exactly right. You don't want to skew the results. So we, you know, will take direction on how random this can be.
Melissa and Brian, Malika.
So, kind of two parts. The 20%, is that 20% of the district or 20% of each individual school? And also, what is there like a new deadline for making a decision on virtual program?
Okay. I'll answer the first question. The 20% is all in-district students, faculty, and staff. That does not include students who attend private schools or parochial schools. It's 20% of our three-building population, including all students, faculty, and staff. And regarding, you know, the virtual decision, I'll let Mr. D'Amico answer this too, but you know, we've come up on the end of the trimester at the K through six buildings, and you know, we do have some openings in those virtual sections, right, Mr. D'Amico?
Well, if we're speaking K-6, really at the 712 building, we've offered two models, the fully virtual and the hybrid model. We actually will have a communication going out explaining that or getting into further detail because there have been some requests regarding that. At the K-6 level, we do have a virtual section per grade level. And, you know, in all of the buildings, we've offered an opportunity to make a request either at the end of the trimester K-6 or at the end of the semester 712, which I believe is January. It's late in January. I think it's 26th or 29th.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. D'Amico. And the last question tonight.
Angela Campagna.
Good evening, Mrs. Campagna.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much. So my follow-up, I think, is a couple of things on the question. First of all, your last answer to the question about 20% of all in-district students, staff, and faculty. I'm going to go back to where you said you think the geographic location would be by zip code. That contradicts. So I think we need to make sure that there is clarification on what the yellow zone is actually going to be, because that would mean children in our district that go out of our district are in our zip code and should be counted as our 20%. So I just want to make sure that there's correlation between those two statements that were just made.
Yeah, I don't think that's accurate. Okay. And that's not accurate. We have to test 20% of our in-district kids. Now regarding, you know, zip code, we're being told it's by zip code. We can look into that, but that's what we've been told.
So then that means for parents in our area, if a parent sends a child out of our zip code, they may have to keep that child home because they're in the yellow zone, even though their child is attending a school out of our yellow zone?
That's correct.
Okay, because, so that's important.
Because their schools would have to test, you know, to in order to stay open too.
Okay, so that's important for a parent to understand then.
Yeah, for parents who send children out, you know, maybe to a parochial high school or, you know, a private high school or a private, you know, schools throughout the K through 12 spectrum. Yeah, that's important. We have to test 20% in order to keep Babylon schools open.
Okay. And then my last question is really about has the Babylon Teachers Association gotten behind them saying and supporting this for their teachers as well? I mean, the faculty falls mostly under the BTA, but for staff members as well, how is how is everybody responding to themselves testing? And I want to make sure that they support it as well.
They've been great. Our teachers have been terrific throughout this whole process. They're partners with us throughout this whole process. They understand the importance of what we've done so far to keep our doors open for in-person instruction. They've been wonderful. I think everybody understands, you know, what the requirement is coming down from New York State, you know. Very good questions tonight, everybody. I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. I particularly want to thank Dr. Mulbauer. Thank you so much, Dr. Mulbauer. You were wonderful. And listen, you know, we're going to continue getting information out to parents as we fine tune this whole process, but it is incredibly important. I want everyone to know, in order to maintain in-person instruction, we don't have a choice other than to do this. And I feel very comforted, as does the Board of Education, putting this big responsibility into the hands of very skilled professionals who can come in and do this the right way and make everybody feel comfortable about it. And as I said, you know, as we go through, let's hope we never get designated, but if we do, I know we're going to be in very good hands. Thanks to the doctor who was here with us tonight. Thank you again, Dr. Mulbauer. I really appreciate you taking this time. And I want to thank all of our parents too, and staff members who are with us tonight, and board of trustees and everybody. It really is a wonderful, wonderful Babylon family here. And we will do everything we can continue to possibly do to keep our schools running safe and healthy for everybody. So, you know, the guidance changes almost weekly. And so, you know, as that changes, we will continue to update everybody. I want to thank every panelist with us tonight. Thanks so much, everybody. Stay tuned. We'll be, you know, sending out more information. And please fill out those surveys. Where we have till Wednesday at 5 p.m. Please spread the word. We had a little over 150 people here with us tonight. That's not even nearly enough. Please spread the word. This is very, very important. With that, good evening. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, doctor. Talk soon.